Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Cammie McCormick. It was a U.S.-Russia prisoner swap at a time when tensions are high over Ukraine. On her way back home, American basketball star Brittany Griner, still in a Russian prison, American Paul Whelan. The U.S. swapped convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Boot. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke with CBS's Margaret Brennan about the deal.
The choice wasn't between getting one American or the other back. It was the choice before us was one or none. And the president decided that it was important to at least bring Brittany home now and continue to work on getting Paul back too.
CBS's Catherine Herridge.
This administration remains dedicated to Paul Whelan, but the question remains, what would it take to secure his release, given that this arms dealer, Victor Boot, was a big card for us to play in any kind of negotiation?
Whelan has been held by Russia for 4 years. The House has passed a bill that approves the defense budget, but calls on Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to rescind his order requiring service members to get COVID-19 vaccinations. It still needs Senate approval. The House gave final approval today to legislation on same-sex and interracial marriages. Here's correspondent Scott McFarlane.
It strengthens protections for same-sex couples nationwide. It makes it the law for the federal government to continue to formally recognize same-sex marriages. Even if certain states were to prohibit same-sex marriages in the future, under this newly passed law, it guarantees the federal government must acknowledge a same-sex marriage if it's done legally in a state.
The lights are back on in North Carolina after an attack on substations, but a reported shooting at a South Carolina plant may not be connected. Jim Crisula reports.
Duke Energy says none of its equipment at a power substation outside Ridgeway, South Carolina, was damaged. After reports of nearby gunfire, investigators, including Kershaw County Sheriff Lee Bone, don't think the facility was targeted.
I currently have no reason to believe this shooting incident has anything to do with an attack on the hydro station.
Some 45,000 utility customers were without power for days after two electrical substations in Moore County, North Carolina, were hit by gunfire last Saturday. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
More than 1,000 New York Times journalists and other staff walked off the job today, frustrated over contract negotiations.
Get your Tupperware ready, because we are not leaving the table until we get a full plate and our fair share.
The negotiations have dragged on for months. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. It's been a good year for Wisconsin, with the state dipping below 3% unemployment in the last 12 months, and the current unemployment rate sits at 3.3%, but a worker shortage is still projected in the coming years. There are roughly 2 job openings for every job seeker in Wisconsin. So the state is trying to re-engage people who've been out of the workforce for a variety of reasons, including incarceration. There are currently 10 job centers in correctional facilities helping inmates secure employment after they're released. Catholic Charities held an open house at their new facility on Grand Avenue in Wausau on Wednesday at the Community Partners Campus building. Multiple services will soon be available in one location, including a warming shelter, food pantry, office space, and services for elderly. After 4 years of planning, construction is on track to be completed and they will open in February. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 24. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, 33. Overcast skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance of snow showers, 27. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Sorry about that. Am I even on right now? Ogama, I've just had a really busy day, and I know you've had a really busy day.
Yeah.
I just did a show with Matt McNeil, and now I'm trying to remember what show I'm on, but I think I'm on Native Roots Radio, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And this portion of the show is also brought to you today a little bit by Water Legacy, which is a group working to protect water here in Minnesota. And we'll have a wonderful guest on here in our second segment, right, Robert?
Yeah, we might even, she's in the bullpen right now, and I know I've known of Paula for many years. I'm a St. Paul resident, and she was a city council member, and she's still doing great work out there, so that's awesome. And I'm excited, and then later on we're going to have Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, and then you and I will talk again, and I'll make you even work more and longer because, you know, we're both frazzled here, all this work we do.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we'll get through it somehow. It's only an hour, right? So exactly. I guess in lieu of news today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the topic of at hand, which is the PolyMet proposed mine in northern Minnesota. PolyMet is a copper sulfide mine that is proposed up on the northern shore of Minnesota, 12 miles south of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. And this project, when you start to read into what it actually entails, everybody, it's amazing that this is and or was permitted at one point in the state of Minnesota. This mine would produce millions of tons of waste rock and produce acid mine drainage, which contains carcinogens and heavy metals like lead and mercury. This is happening right next to the St. Louis River, and which flows downstream into Lake Superior and would harm the residents of Duluth and the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. And I don't know if anybody has heard of this company before, but have you ever heard of Glencore, Robert?
No. Is it another one of those foreign companies that want to destroy our environment?
It is. It's a Swiss mining and commodities giant, and they are known for, all kinds of things, labor violations, environmental issues, bribery, corruption, unlawful actions. the United Steelworkers called Glencore one of the most irresponsible companies on the planet. And that is who would be setting up for a Polymet mine. This is like 16 million gallons of polluted water that would be released into groundwater each year, which would then seep into the St. Louis Rivershed and flow downstream, which, again, contaminates water supply for the Fond du Lac Band, the city of Duluth, and possibly, ultimately, Lake Superior. They want to cut costs in this project and build a 250-foot tall dam to store 225 million tons of reactive mine waste. I don't even know if I need to repeat that. 250-foot tall dam to store 225 million tons of reactive mine waste. That's not a sentence that should really be uttered. I mean, it's almost laughable. I mean, how bad this is. According to Friends of the Boundary Waters, the same type of dam designed by the same dam engineer had collapsed in Brazil, and that dam killed over 200 people, and that type of dam construction is now banned in the country of Brazil. But they think it's a great idea here in Minnesota. The other issue with Polymet is the same kind of issue that we have with projects like Line 3 and with other major environmental projects along that line, is that Polymet has designed their financial issues around this in a way that their investors are always paid first, meaning Minnesota taxpayers are going to be on the hook to clean up when things go south, which they will, because they always do. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the EPA, or excuse me, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and some higher ups at the EPA have expressed concerns, or excuse me, the EPA expressed concerns to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency about the wastewater permit, which would allow Polymet to actually violate the Clean Water Act, which is federal. And there's been a ton of permitting issues with this. So for now, the state of Minnesota is temporarily safe from Polymet because Minnesota issued the final state permit for Polymet and the Minnesota Court of Appeals threw out that permit. But now Polymet can't do anything until it's done with the legal issues. And I'm probably butchering what the legal issues are with this case, but that's part of the reason why we have Paula McCabe, who is the Water Legacy Advocacy Director and Counsel, meaning she's, I believe, the attorney that's helping to take both permits for the Polymet mine to the Minnesota Supreme Court, which they have done a fabulous job of. And that second water permit case, I believe, just hit the Minnesota Supreme Court last week. So she's graciously offered her time to try to explain a little bit more of this issue and why it is such a problem. And I'm really excited to hear from her, Robert, because ever since I've heard about Polymine and Twin Metals and also the Tamarack mine and some other just really terrible mining ideas here in Minnesota, you know, it's just kind of been on the back of my mind. Once you know about these types of issues, these types of projects that are coming into your water in your state, it creates this level of fear, I think, that what is going to happen to our water? Are we going to be safe here? What is going to happen if there's a spill? And Line 3 is already in the ground, and we worry about that every day. And yep. Water Legacy is working to stop Polymet. So thank you and welcome, Paula, for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Ogima. I hope you can hear me with the headset. Yeah. And I think that was a really excellent summary of the threat posed by Polymet and why citizens throughout Minnesota, not including both Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities, should be really concerned about this project and about Glencore, the $200 billion, that's with a B, that's their annual revenue, and they actually control Polymet, and they own most of Polymet, and they're not responsible on any of the permits that have been issued. So if there were a tailings dam collapse exactly like you explained, or serious leakage, Glencore could walk away and Polymet could go bankrupt. And that is one of the many reasons why people in Minnesota have to pay attention, and anyone who cares about water needs to be worried about this project.
Well, Apollo Maccabee, I am so happy that you're on air with us. And I did have a chance to talk to you a couple of years ago up in Duluth at one of Winona's concerts. And it's great to see you and working with Water Legacy. I'd love to, we got only about a minute in this segment, but we'll bring you on the second segment and just dig deeper into this. And we always try to figure out what can we do. So maybe we can talk about actions that we can take too to support Water Legacy and support your work, and also talk about, we don't need this. And, you know, Ogama bringing up a 270-foot wall, you know, to hold the waste in, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me, and I'm not an engineer.
It's essentially what they pumped underground in concrete when Line 3 had the aquifer breaches in two parts of Minnesota, except above ground.
It's a real threat. And I think the other thing to realize is it's not even a wall. It's a pile of sand. And what happens with piles of sand is when they're not watched carefully, they collapse. And so there's a huge threat from the PolyMet project, and especially from the tailings waste pile.
Let's take a quick break and then let's jump right into this, Paula. I really appreciate you stopping in. And I know from my years of following you as a city council member, you're a doer. So I'm excited to get deeper into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, you're muted, Ogama, just like old time's sake here.
Oh, man, I was. I haven't done that in a long time. Bujou, it's Ogama. I just wanted to let everybody know that the Native American Community Development Institute's All My Relations Arts Gallery is hosting the Rosie Sema's dance performance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. It's only until December 15th, and there are limited showings available. So if you want to make sure to see this beautiful program, you need to go over to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets and get in to see that show before next Thursday, 1 week from today.
Wow. Thanks, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Paula Maccabee, and she is a Water Legacy worker here. And I think you're a lawyer for Water Legacy, correct? Yes. And let's talk a little bit about the oral argument at the Minnesota Supreme Court regarding PolyMet. Can you let our audience know a little bit about that?
Sure. I've been working with Water Legacy as their lawyer and advocacy director since 2009. And when we started our work, we were told that PolyMet was a done deal and that they would be breaking ground and destroying water quality and precious wetlands in a matter of just a couple of years. And we and our allies, and those allies include the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and several other really important environmental groups, we've held them off now. It's 13 years. And that's a really important thing to realize, that when people get organized and when resources like lawyers and doctors and technicians and scientists are put into opposing bad things, we can do something about it. So where PolyMet is now, there was a permit to mine that was reversed by the Supreme Court just last year. And this year, part of the water pollution permit was reversed because they didn't follow the Clean Water Act in analyzing seepage. But part of the important part of the PolyMet water pollution was left standing. And so that's why Water Legacy and our allies, we all petitioned the Supreme Court and said, we want you to look at this case. And the Supreme Court took it, and they take only about 5% of the cases, so they agreed it was really important. And these are the issues that we argued up at the Supreme Court last week. One, and Ogama mentioned this, that there was something funky going on in the permitting. Usually, when there's a big project like this, the EPA professional staff will put in their comments in writing. And in this case, EPA let the Minnesota agencies know, we're really concerned about this. We're concerned about the effect on mercury, on sulfate, on wild rice, on the downstream Fond du Lac Band. And we think this permit is going to violate the Clean Water Act and won't be enforceable. And so the Pollution Control Agency knew that. And instead of just dealing with the comments, letting them be public, responding in writing like the law requires, they went to the political higher-ups above all of the program people and convinced the Trump administration to quash EPA's comments. So they were never submitted. They were withheld. And so one of the important issues at the Minnesota Supreme Court is, if an agency uses improper procedures, and we proved at the district court level that the procedures were improper, then that agency's decision should be considered unlawful and arbitrary and capricious, and they shouldn't be able to benefit by hiding important information from the public and hiding important information that would hold them accountable. So that was the first issue. We want the permit reversed because EPA should have a chance to put in their comments, and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency should not be rewarded for basically circumventing the law. And then the second issue that Water Legacy argued is that almost every wastewater permit, and certainly a new permit for discharge to impaired waters, has end of pipe limits saying you can't add more than this much pollution. The PolyMet permit, which is new, it has mercury impaired waters all the way from the headwaters of the St. Louis River down to the estuary in Lake Superior. And somehow, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency didn't make them put any end of pipe limits on mercury, sulfite, lead, nickel, arsenic, nothing. And so that was one of the arguments that the EPA made. Water Legacy eventually got their comments by suing the EPA in federal court under freedom of information. So we knew that. And that was one of the arguments that we made. And then the Fond du Lac Band made a really compelling argument that Fond du Lac has their own water quality standards. And when the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency gave PolyMet its permit, they didn't even consider the band standards at all. It just wasn't part of their record. And that is another way of saying it. Not only was it illegal not to consider it, but it was also another way of showing that they were being arbitrary and just trying to give PolyMet what they wanted rather than following all the laws. And finally, Minnesota law has a really protective rule about groundwater. You're not supposed to put waste into groundwater. And if you have to put something on, like a landfill, you're supposed to have basically the best prevention you can possibly make. Both PolyMet's 526-acre waste rock pile, and PolyMet's 1,350-acre tailings waste, they don't have any liners. So the waste would just be going right into the groundwater, the surface shallow groundwater and the deeper groundwater. And maybe PolyMet says, oh, we're going to, once we've released it, we're going to recapture it. But there's nothing in terms of historical examples, field testing, that shows how much they're going to recapture. And most Superfund sites that try to do this, they capture about 50-60%. PolyMet is promising 99% without one bit of evidence that they could actually do it. So exactly what Ogema was talking about is releasing pollution through groundwater, and that groundwater will go back, you know, not only will it affect groundwater, people who have wells in the area, but will go into the wetlands and the surface water and affect people all the way down to the city of Duluth, Lake Superior, and the Fond du Lac Band.
You know, Paula, this is blowing my mind, because as you and Ogema told this story today, it's like, what is the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency thinking? How you know, what is the EPA thinking? I mean, who are these people making these decisions? I mean, is all I could think of in my head as you two were speaking this truth?
Well, I think that's a really good question, Robert. And I grew up in Minnesota, and I always thought we were kind of like Lake Wobegon, where all of our children were above average, and we were sort of better than everybody else. But I think what we've learned over the past 13 years at Water Legacy is that smugness is not deserved. There are many, many countries, like Ogema was talking about, countries like Brazil and Chile, that wouldn't even allow the kind of dam that PolyMet is proposing to build now. And then there's the issue, we call it regulatory capture, because it's not really that someone at the Pollution Control Agency is getting money to do the wrong thing. It's that the pressure of the politicians at the legislature and the governor is to get the permits done, not to protect the water, not to protect human health, not to protect the future for the climate or nature. And so there's a lot of pressure on the Pollution Control Agency to rubber stamp whatever the company wants. And even a culture of calling the companies that are going to pollute their customers, rather than talking about the plants and the animals and the people who are going to drink the water or eat the fish as the real customers of the Pollution Control Agency. So we started out thinking we were going to get PolyMet stopped and then we'd move on. We realized we really have to fight. I'm seeing a flash across the screen of corruption. We need to fight the corruption and regulatory capture that prevents our agencies from acting in the public interest rather than in the private interest of huge multinational corporations.
Yeah, we've run into this since Standing Rock and again, Line 3. Go ahead, Ogema. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was okay. I just wanted to remind people, too, that much of the people at the Commissioner's Office of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency are appointed officials. They're not officials that we get the chance as Minnesotans to vote in with our best interests in mind. These are people that are placed into their positions to do this work. And I don't know. I guess I have a question for you, Paula. I don't know how to phrase it per se, but is there any way to take the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency themselves to court for failing their due diligence to Minnesotans for their work?
Well, to a certain extent, by arguing about these irregular procedures, we are taking them to court, but our only remedy here is not like a penalty. It's just that we'd be able to throw out the permit. But I think there's a bigger question is, what can we do? I think that what has happened over the years is there's so much money in politics, and most people are just struggling to get by.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Severe weather hits and the power goes out. Do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The All of Us Research Program is asking for people to help researchers make healthcare more precise by creating individualized prevention and treatment options. When you join, you'll share your unique health information and become part of the largest and most diverse medical research program ever. The more data researchers have, the more they'll be able to create better care for all of us. Introducing the next breakthrough in medicine, you. Learn more at joinallofus.org/WBA, sponsored by All of Us Wisconsin.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The first Democratic candidate has joined the race for the 8th Senate District seat. Jody Habush-Sinikin, an attorney from Whitefish Bay, has announced her candidacy. A Democrat has not held the seat since 1992 when Darling won the seat and held it ever since. Some Democrats speculate the special election has a good chance of flipping the seat after the outcome of the midterm elections. Habush-Sinikin joins four Republican candidates running for the 8th Senate District seat. The primary will be held on February 21st. Santa is making time for pictures with children in Wisconsin Rapids at a special showroom set up at 851 Oak Street. There's even a mailbox set up at the corner of Oak and 9th for kids to send letters to the North Pole. Santa's showroom is open to the public Tuesdays through Fridays, now until December 23rd from noon to 8 p.m., and on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 24. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, 33. Overcast skies. Overcast tomorrow night, chance of snow showers, 27. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's not a foregone conclusion. Washington still hasn't released the money, and the city and state would have to agree on specifics. In sports, the Bucks beat Sacramento last night. College volleyball's Sweet 16 play today. Wisconsin hosts Penn State, and Marquette takes on top-seeded Texas. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Ha ha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and by MNsure. If you're looking for an affordable health plan and you're a resident of Minnesota, head on over to mnsure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I'm going to relieve you of your duty right now because I hear a crying baby upstairs. And Robert and I will take this the rest of the way, even though Robert's not feeling good either. It's interesting. We have two former city council members on today, Paula McAbee and now Robert Lilligren. It's old home week here with the politicians.
Yeah, and then I got to work with Paula a little in some of the water work she did and the environmental sort of campaigns that she managed that came before the city council after her city council career in St. Paul. So right. It's a small world.
It sure is. And I can hear your cold. You have a cold.
I think it's a cold, you know, with I tested COVID, tested negative. But I'll tell you, it's been probably 3 years since I've had a cold. So because we were so cautious during the pandemic. So I've been out in the public a lot and things. So I think it's just a cold.
But you are cautious in the public, too, because I see you wearing a mask all the time.
I've been letting up a little bit on it, you know, so this is a good lesson. And then, as I told you earlier, I'm planning a trip up to the North Shore. So for folks not from Minnesota, that's along the Lake Superior up in northern Minnesota, the North Shore. So I want to push through this as quickly as I can so I'm healthy when I'm up on the North Shore.
Well, you guys do that every year, right?
Yeah, we do it a couple times a year, maybe 3-4 times a year. But this December trip is the same. It's our anniversary.
Yeah.
So this will be our 8th anniversary. I think I've told you this before. We were married on December 13, 2014. So it was 12/13/14. So it's an easy one, an easy date to remember.
Well, I know maybe 3 years ago, I was begging you to be on Native Roots Radio, and you said, I can't talk to you about it until I come back from the North Shore. I was at Marlene's church for a rummage sale or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, the holiday sale or the Christmas sale. All Nations Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I protect that space, and it's been just such a spiritual place for my husband, me, his family. You know, I was born in Duluth, so right on the shore of Lake Superior, and then we've taken ashes of several close friends and relatives up there as well. So there's a kind of a sacred piece to this, too.
Yeah. Ichigumi.
Ichigumi, and it's great in November, you know, the gales of November. Sometimes the lake is just wild when we're up there.
Well, speaking of wild, I think Georgia saved the nation.
Yes, Georgia saved our democracy. They have changed the dialogue in so many ways, right? We see now Trump's goofy candidates aren't going to win, and everybody sees that. So, yay. Yeah. So that changes something a little more immediate. But now Georgia will always be in play for the foreseeable future. It will be a swing state. Nobody can take it for granted. It means you're going to have to work and work hard. But in just a few short years to go from deep blue to a lovely purple shade is a pretty cool thing.
You mean deep red from blue?
Sorry, yes, deep red. See, that's my foggy brain.
Purple. Just think of his re-election 6 years from now, what the state will be like. Because, you know, I got to back up a second. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we love chatting on Thursdays here about local and national Native politics, but also, you know, all politics, which affect us here on Turtle Island. And again, you know, one of the game changers, too, I believe, Robert, and you can help me with this, is that now the vice president doesn't have to stay in Washington all the time to put over the vote. And in these committees, it's a huge deal.
That's a huge deal. Democrats will have true majorities in all committees in the Senate. That's a huge deal. It's big for the appointment of judges. We're going to see that just pick up the pace. And you're right. Vice President Harris can move around, raise her profile, that'll be a good thing. And yeah, Georgia really saved us. And, you know, all hail Stacey Abrams and the work that she's done to lay this groundwork and to help energize voters there. But it's a game changer.
I was surprised, and I have to give Herschel a little credit, that he did have a speech, and he did concede, and he had a decent speech. And I'm thinking, if he would have been talking that way for the last year, he might have got elected.
Possibly. And you know, I've heard a lot about that. You know, I praise him. I'll praise him. You know, good conceding. Okay. Not everyone has. Good to have a good speech. That's a minimum, right? That's a very low bar. If that's all we need from our candidates, that they know how to concede well, we're not asking enough of them. So, yes.
Thank you first.
What's that?
I said, thank you for straightening me out there. That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, we've heard it so much, you know, so it's an easy point to pick up. But I think what a lot of people were surprised at is how close it was, right? Because I think, you know, correct thinking people think, how could you vote for Walker, you know, someone who clearly has demonstrated he's unfit for office? But you got to remember that Republicans are putting voter suppression measures in place, legislation in place to make it harder to vote. They battled everything Saturday voting in the runoff, which the Democrats challenged and won. It was reinstated. But this victory of 2 points or two to three points, you know, happened in an environment where there should not have been a Democratic victory. So that's massive. I think it's a huge win.
It is. And I'm curious to see, and maybe not so surprising, how the young people voted. I know, just basic numbers, when I was watching the election or the results come in, that I think it was something like 93% of the African Americans did not vote for him. And then we're wondering, who the heck is he voting for him? It's like, you know, putting up this kind of a candidate's a slap in the face of African Americans, you know.
Right. It's, you know, you think of Herschel Walker, what his career has been. You know, he's been working for the man, playing for the man. You know, this is kind of his MO. So, you know, so he can step right into this role as a candidate, you know, working for the white man, and that's who voted for him. And so college educated women, black voters and young voters elected Warnock, and I'm forever grateful to them for that. And they've shown that the shallow kind of issues that Republicans think are people are going to vote on, gas prices, you know, inflation, people understand those things fluctuate. People voted to preserve democracy. People voted to preserve individual rights. I mean, this was deep thinking that went into people's votes and determination. And it wasn't like maybe a few decades ago where people were really putting their lives at risk to go vote, especially black voters. But people had to wait in lines forever and ever. There was tons of personal inconvenience, and people did it, man. They maintained their place in line and got into the ballot boxes.
Well, and we just talked about in the beginning, as we like to chit chat and forget people are listening. And one of the cool things is when we first met and or talked about being on the show, and you and your husband were going on a trip. Let's talk a little bit about the marriage vote. First of all, why the heck do we need this? And thank God we have it, I guess, right?
Right. You know, I mean, someone like me who's in a same-sex marriage, this matters a lot. I feel much more protected. You know, Justice Thomas and other Supreme Court justices made it clear they were gunning for marriage equality after they shredded Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision and attacking these individual rights, these well-established individual rights. And this was coming next. So now it's the law of the land. I can't wait to see the president sign this legislation. You know, it had to bounce back to the House, which always makes me a little nervous. And it was interesting to see some Republican Congress people jumped from yes to no, and some jumped from no to yes. So it was almost a wash in the House. But it's hopefully this will mean it's a non-issue going forward, but it is the law of the land. So at least, at least my marriage, thousands, millions of other marriages, interracial marriages.
Yes.
You know, when my parents were married, my dad's Native, my mom's white, their wedding, their marriage was illegal in 27 states. So, yep. You know, this protects a lot of people.
Yeah, really good point. And, and this is a question, we don't have the House, but we have the Senate. Can we do anything about more Supreme Court justice? I mean, I don't know. I was on somebody else's show earlier today, and it's just like, I used to really respect the Supreme Court. It was the Supreme Court, but now as a 61-year-old person, I'm going, this is a joke.
Right. They've lost the confidence of a majority of the American people. They're not dispensing justice for a majority of American people. Right now, with an elections case, they're trying to ensconce minority rule in this country. And so you're right to be concerned, and you're right to wonder. And we'll see what happens, right? Things happen to people. There's always been conversations about expanding the court beyond nine. It's happened. The number of the Supreme Court justices has fluctuated throughout our history. It wouldn't be unprecedented to expand it. So that's a possibility. And or think things happen. You know, people change their life courses. You know, houses fall out of the sky on you. Yeah. You know, different things. You never know.
You know, when you first said that, that's the first thing, not the house thing, but something like that happening. I'm going, is that what he's talking about? Hey, I know you're not feeling well, and we got another break. Is there any way you can stay on for just a little bit in the second segment?
Sure. Don't expect too much. I want to manage your expectations.
No, you know, and Ogumai had to run to her baby, so you don't want me on here babbling to myself, because that's never a good thing. Never. So thank you so much, Robert. I really appreciate that. I guess you couldn't say no. We were on live radio, so I
Sorry. Very strategic of you, Robert.
Uh-oh. Hey, we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. Stay with us, please.
Hey, Ogumai, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? See how I slowed down, Robert? I saw you taking a sip there, and I needed a duet howl.
I love it. I don't have much of a voice for howling right now, so I did my best.
No, you did great. And I appreciate you feeling under the weather here. And our ace reporter, Ogama, had to run to her baby. So I appreciate you hanging out a little bit longer.
I support that.
Right on.
Where I work, we have an indigenous approach where we take care of ourselves first, our family second, and then the community. And so I support Ogama taking time away. And I will tell you, since we adopted that approach, which I was taught by a local elder, Linda Eagle speaker, I'm sure you know her.
Yeah.
During COVID, she taught me that. Take care of yourself first, family second, organization third. I just pushed against her and pushed against her. I'm like, no, we're indigenous. We care for the whole. And she just kept reaffirming self, wow, family, then community. And since we've really embraced that at our organization, NACTI, amazing things have happened. Our capacity has just blossomed. And to watch the incredibly talented Native professionals, young Native professionals I work with, just grow in such a way. So I'm spreading the word. Take care of yourself, your family, then the community.
Yeah, I miss stopping by your office and seeing all those young warriors working with you and side by side. And, you know, Natives are progressive, but I feel like young Natives are really progressive.
agree. And we've talked about this a lot in our early elder years. It's their world. You know, they are on such firmer ground than you and I were at their ages.
Oh, my God.
It's just going to be wonderful to see what happens in the coming years and decades.
You know, too, just to talk about that for just a second, and I feel like it's not a race. I feel like a lot of our young ones are in different places, and I know I was a slow learner, and I feel like, you know, later in my life, I've calmed down a lot, and been able to listen to my heart and listen to other people, and things change. But I think a lot of our young ones already have that.
It seems like it, doesn't it? It seems like it. And, you know, I was talking to a community member, a member of my board, who's just a driven professional Native guy. And I was saying to him how much in these years I really protect my time, and I take time away and take time to listen to my heart and go out into the world and listen to nature. And I didn't learn that at a young age. And no. I really picked up a lot of this from these millennials and young people I work around the self-care part. But I was trying to impress on him because he just runs and runs and runs. And I said, you know, I wish I would have learned that earlier. I can't imagine how much more, how I could have amplified my impact if I had started doing that earlier in my life.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, we talk about all the things that have happened in our lifetime, which is amazing. I mean, we're 62 and 61. We talk about, you know, voting, religious rights, and, you know, people like the American Indian Movement that really came up and made us proud in the early days and really were knocking down doors, literally. You know, we talk about a lot of things that we've lived through and we've had the privilege to experience. So I can't imagine what our young ones are going to live through. You know what I mean? My grandma, Grandma Nissen, was, you know, had dirt floors. You know what I mean? Sure. It's just like no cars or horses. You know, she was born in the 1890s. It's just... Yep. Yep. Think about that.
Well, and even in the 60s and later, going up to the reservation, White Earth, that's my nation, and my elder relatives, they lived without electricity, running water, you know, plumbing. There were outhouses, and, you know, I'd go up there, you'd have kerosene lamps at night, you know, and this is in the 1960s, and I thought, oh, this is so cool, this is so cool, you know. I didn't realize it was because they were dirt poor, right? That's why they lived that way. But they lived a good life. They lived an authentic life that way.
Yeah. And I like that word authentic. They lived an authentic life. And so there's like, you were talking about your friend working so much. And so there's like, you know, that balance where maybe less money, you work less and have more time for family and important things.
Right, right. And, you know, the money piece is what it is. And, you know, when I was a young man, it was Malcolm Forbes, wasn't it, who said, do what you love and the money will follow. Mm. Right? That was kind of this banner of the 70s, 80s and things. And I heard that and it didn't sit right with me. So I had to edit it and punctuate it and just say, do what you love. You know, and if in that equation, money has to be part of it, to me, is that really what you love? Right. And as I was talking about in our organization, in NACTI, where we prioritize ourselves, then our families, then the organization, the level of the kind of the punchline or the secret is the level of production and performance that I see some from my staff is amazing. It's beyond anything. And I think some people from the outside look at me as like the easiest boss in the world because I'm so permissive about people taking care of themselves and their families first. But the joke is, the punchline is, I'm getting more out of these people because of it.
Wow. Really? Wow. I don't know that I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That is really awesome.
It's hard to believe. We with our board and staff went into a retreat. We went down to Prairie Island, down to their facilities, down to the Prairie Island Nation, Prairie Island community. And I was telling my board about this, you know, and it's just been almost like a magical, mystical thing. I'm like, I feel like I should publish on this. And they're like, you should.
Or at least go. Or at least go out and speak on it and become a circuit speaker on how things are going. That'd be awesome.
Maybe that's my next career.
Right on. Well, I always, you know, we only got a couple minutes left, so I really appreciate it, Robert, that you were able to hold on. And, you know, I was always told that, and this is a 70s, 80 thing, too. If you can master anything, you can do anything. And I always used to beat myself up because I liked a lot of, I know a lot about, a little about a lot of things. But that really helped me in my film and video career because I could talk to anybody. So those myths that rich people that maybe were born, you know, rich, that try and tell us how we should be, should probably be thrown out.
Agree. And, you know, I'm kind of like that as well. I'm interested in a lot of things. And, you know, as we get older and you look back and you have all this perspective, right? It's like, oh, wow, I've gone here, I've gone there. I wasn't one of those people who had a plan. I'm going from here to here to here to here. It was like I'd get up every morning and figure out what door I was going to walk through. But that inch deep and a mile wide perspective really helped when I was in politics. That's what people want from politicians. You have to know a lot or a little about a lot of things, you know, and so that kind of helped me in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did it. We got like less than a minute left in the show, Robert. I really, really appreciate you holding on for another segment, and I always really appreciate our conversation. We got like 30 seconds. Do you have anything else?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. 30 seconds isn't very much time. I guess we can go back. An election just happened. Another one's happening in Minneapolis next year and in 2 years a biggie. So I would just encourage people to stay involved, stay informed, get your parents to vote, get your kids to vote, get your neighbors to vote, and we can take this democracy back.
Wow. Great way to end the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Robert Lilligram of Native American Community Development Institute. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.